The following is a conversation. It has the features of any conversation, such as imperfectly expressed thoughts, ill-considered opinions, and the notions of several sleep-deprived brains. Try not to get your stethoscope in a twist about it.
Y'all get caught up in the Kate Middleton mystery?
I thought that was cancer.
I know.
I was worried that it was going to be something like that.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure until somebody said something about Kate Middleton, and then I Googled Kate Middleton, and I was like, Kate Middleton has cancer. Oh.
It was the mystery before the cancer that everybody was really caught up in.
Yeah, that I didn't hear.
Because it was like, what's happened to her? She hasn't been seen in weeks, and then she releases this photograph that's clearly doctored and all this kind of stuff, and so people were making up like... I was just like, shut up, people. Yeah. Let this poor royal woman have her
this poor royal
have her
woman.
Privacy, for God's sake. My God.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's really tough.
Isn't the point of the royals is to be like very public to the people, though?
I guess so. But also like I feel like there are some things that I don't know if off limits is the right word.
Yeah. What about HIPAA?
But
I don't know if they have HIPAA in the UK. Is that a solely like US thing? I don't know.
I mean, they've got to have some version.
They got
to
have
HIPAA.
Something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
BIPA?
Oh, HIPAA.
HIPAB.
HIPAA.
Sorry.
Anyway, yeah. I just felt like people were being super weird about it.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. You know, I kind of don't watch the news, so. It's hard for me. The only news.
Do you not watch the news for a particular reason?
Yes. Well, two reasons. One of them is that I'm like just busy and I'd rather be spending my time doing other things.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that I find that the news is generally so negative.
Yeah.
That it, and I, as we are about to find out, I am extremely high on the anxiety scale. And so it just like causes me unnecessary anxiety. I feel like the really important things I'm going to find out not through the news.
I've definitely decreased my consumption of news. I mean, I'm a bit of a news junkie, but I have also, I check in on the news every morning and every night.
What do you use?
Google News and New York Times.
Mm, okay. Mm.
So I definitely check in the morning and night, but also like I've become a quick skimmer. I don't listen to the news on the way home anymore, for instance, because I would like to not want to drive myself into a tree.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't even know that you could listen to the news on the way
home. On the radio.
The hell?
That used to be the only way to listen to the news.
But invariably when I turn it on, they're talking about a certain orange person that I... I don't want to hear about anymore.
And which we will begin hearing.
There have
about
been a
again.
Lot of Wonka movies, so it's like
yes. Curse it's you, overdone. Willy Wonka, curse you.
Meandering in the margins of medicine, it's the Shortcoat Podcast.
Weird news,
fresh views,
helpful clues and interviews
by students for students.
Subscribe to our weekly show at theshortcoat.com.
Welcome back to the Shortcoat Podcast. This is a show that gives you an inside look at medical school from the students drinking from that fire hose. It's a production of the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine. I'm Dave Etler. With me today in the SCP studio, we've got MD PhD student Jacqueline Nielsen.
Hello.
M2 Hind Al-Khalani is here.
Hi.
And M1 Fallon Jung.
Hi.
Is joining us this week. Before we start today, I want to remind you listeners, you shortcoats out there in listener land, that we are here to answer your questions about medicine, med school, and, take suggestions about things to talk about. Go to theshortcoat.com/tell us to send something to us and free yourselves from the bullshit that I come up with to talk about on this show by making the show your show. I lost control of our phone number that we've had.
What? What do you mean you lost control?
I don't know. Like I called, I logged into it the other day on Google Voice.
Yeah.
Logged into it the other day. I noticed that it said something like, get a number. And I was like, what do you mean? I already have a number. And so I called our number and some woman picked up.
Oh, God.
And I was like, what the hell?
That's what you said to her?
No. I was like, sorry, I must have the wrong number. And then I called it again a little while later. And that same woman picked up and she's like, hello. She sounded very annoyed. I wonder if she's been getting calls for a while.
From neurotic med students.
Yeah.
I just like to leave a message.
It turns out that if you don't make calls or texts from your Google Voice number for 90 days, they may reassign.
Oh.
Or they may give away your number.
That's really crazy. Interesting.
So send your voice message to the email.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm working on a new phone number on an officially sanctioned. The reason we had that number is because back when the show started, you know, in 2010, there was no option for me to get a official number. So I had to do Google Voice. And I don't know how it lasted that long, to be honest, with the idea that it could be just given away after 90 days of non-use. I don't know how it lasted long.
Maybe that's like a new thing.
It could be. Yeah. It could be. But I was like, oh, sad. No more 347 short CT. It's going to have to be some
other
thing. Can we get 357 short CT?
I don't know.
There must be like a shortage of phone numbers. I feel like you really have like your finger on the pulse. Like, you know.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe this is the phone number apocalypse.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh. Guys, high anxiety level.
I know. I know.
We can't speak of apocalypse.
Anyway, theshortcodes.com/tell us. That's where from now on, we'll have the way for you to get in touch with us. It'll be right there. No matter what happens, if it changes, that's where it'll be. Theshortcodes.com/tell us. Please send something. That would be lovely. Let me know that you're out there listening.
Yeah. I love to give advice.
Yeah.
If you want advice.
Yeah, that's the whole thing that we like to do. Picking a medical specialty. Big decision. A couple of you are probably not quite there yet. Hind, are you all right there?
Yeah. Are we supposed to hear things through our headphones?
Yes.
I am not hearing a thing through my headphones.
Look for everything to
there,
be.
There is an unplugged plug down
there. There you go. I must have kicked it out, or somebody kicked it out.
All high on anxiety.
Look at you. Lift up your microphone a bit.
Oh, God, that's funny.
Yeah. Oh, not that way.
Too much.
This is me, like, every day in clinic. Just being awkward. Okay.
Picking a medical specialty. Big decision. You weigh your intellectual needs, things like, you know, the kinds of patients that you want to work with, the kind of environment you want, your level of ambition, lifestyle consideration. Lots more, including your perception of your own personality and the kinds of personalities that you want to work with and the kind of assumptions that you might make about the personalities of different kinds of specialists. Do you have any in your head? Do you have any ideas about the specialties that... do you have any ideas about specialties and personality?
Yeah.
Before we started this trip,
like
this
what week. Our stereotypes are?
Yeah, yeah. What? Yeah, exactly. Mm. Like, I feel like surgeons, for instance, are easily stereotyped for some reason.
Yeah, like kind of being a hard ass.
Hard. Yeah, they're, you know, demanding, grumpy. Mm.
Yeah.
A
little full of themselves, maybe.
Maybe.
Sorry, that was a blast on surgeons. That was my bad.
I mean, also introverted. These are stereotypes. They may or may not be true. I've met plenty of surgeons who are not that
way. That's
true.
You're right.
But I wanted to talk about the stereotypes specifically. So
I think the reason I was excited about this topic was, like, you know, ideally you'd have a wide range of personalities in each specialty. Like,
sure.
Ideally you wouldn't have everyone with the same personality in the same specialty, because, like, your patients have different personalities. And if you're in a specialty where the patients are awake, like, like, they're going to have different personalities. So,
good point.
So ideally they can interact with providers who they can identify with or get along with.
I feel like your microphone is still not aimed at your face. Lift up the black thing. Oh yeah. It's definitely sideways. Yes, there we go.
Thank you.
That sounds better.
Here we go.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Testing.
There you go. Anyway, keep going.
Yes. I mean, that was really it.
You've all taken the Myers-Briggs test?
Yes.
Do you remember what your result was? I can never remember what it is either, but I have a feeling it was like ENFJ or something like
yeah.
that. Like empathetic, neurotic. What is it? Anyway, point is, fun fact, Myers-Briggs was created by a mother and daughter team in the 20th century.
Girl bosses.
When psychiatry was in its infancy, the mother, Briggs, neither of these women were involved in medicine or psychiatry or anything like that. The mother was interested in personality traits as a way to figure out the best ways to raise children. And the daughter was interested in aligning workers with the right jobs for them, which has kind of played out over the years in how the Myers-Briggs seems to be used. Often it's, you know, it's very popular in employment settings. It's very popular in the military.
Was it really?
In high school.
Very popular in high school.
Yeah. While they try to figure out like what, I don't know, careers to slot you into or whatever.
Yeah.
I read this article, though, about the Big Five personality test and specialty selection from Med School Insiders, which claims that the Myers-Briggs test and most personality tests have no scientific evidence backing them up. In fact, Educational Testing Services, which you might know as the folks who've given us the SAT, wanted to use it in conjunction with the SAT in the 50s and 60s, to find out what people were likely to enjoy doing or want to do. And they literally couldn't find a way to validate the test. They couldn't figure out whether the test actually measured the categories it claimed to measure. So they decided not to use it. But this particular article that we read claimed that the Big Five test does have evidence for its validity. I don't know how to interpret that.
Yeah, I don't know what the evidence was.
That evidence. But anyway, I asked you to take the test anyway over at their website, thebig5.com, I believe it is. I should have written that down. I'll put some links in the show notes. You can check it out. To use it to determine your ideal medical specialty. I'm going to share my results first. I am highly agreeable, highly conscientious, highly open to experience, and highly neurotic, which is defined as having lots of negative feelings, which is true, and low extroversion, which I think some people might be surprised at given my public persona, but I definitely would rather lie on the couch and surf the internet than go to a party, for instance.
Sure.
So that tracks. Anybody else want to share their results?
Yeah, I just need to pull it up.
Yeah, take your time. All
right, I've got mine up, so I'll start. Low neuroticism.
Uh-huh. So you have few negative feelings.
I'm always sad, but I'm not like nervous about things, if that makes sense.
Okay, all right, keep going.
Sorry.
But I'm cheerful too,
I'm always sad.
You get both. Neutral extroversion, and then a high open to experience, agreeableness, and conscientiousness.
Okay. And there's lots of subcategories within each of these categories that I found interesting to explore. Anybody else want to share their results?
I'm still bringing it up. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Fallon.
So it's out of a score of 120, it looks like. I got 60 on neuroticism, so half. 100 on extroversion.
Yeah.
101 to openness to experience.
Yeah.
97 to agreeableness, and 86 to conscientiousness.
Okay. So medium to low neuroticism and highly extroverted, open to experience, agreeable, and conscientious.
Yeah, but like a little less conscientious than the other three. Which I think definitely tracks. For example, when you said that you sent us an article, I did not see.
You okay? But what did you do instead of looking at that article?
Well, I didn't even know it was there, but I took the test.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you also studied, so you know, the conscientious.
No, maybe I might have also watched basketball or one of the five Jason Bourne movies.
Nice.
I've been doing a lot of things this week.
Nice.
Living life to the fullest. Yeah. I got a 52 on neuroticism, so I guess mid. A 99 for extroversion, a 74 to openness. I think that should be lower. I am a rigid girly. I am 112 for agreeableness, and then 118 for conscientiousness.
Yes. All right. Well, I made a custom AI to put those results into. Basically, I had you just copy and paste your results into the, or I took your results and pasted them into the AI to sort of figure out what specialties would be good for us. And I feel like they're all going to be very similar because I think that despite the differences, we're probably all of a type.
What do you think? Can we talk about what we think we want to go into, like, regardless of what the thing is first?
Yeah.
If you think you know.
What do you want to go into?
I think, like, primary care. Primary care field.
Okay.
So, like, maybe family med. Okay. Or, like, family med OB, something like that. I like it.
Last we spoke, you were into psych, Hind, weren't you?
I loved my psych rotation so much.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to do it, though.
Okay. Things have changed.
I think you have to be very, very tough for that. I'm thinking...
You're tough.
Aw.
You're tough.
Plus, minus. I'm thinking ophthalmology.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I really like the eyes. They're just cool.
Oh, that's right. You were also talking about ophthalmology.
Yes.
Maybe even more than... Okay. That's I might have had the wrong person.
Psych is a close second.
Okay.
I'm thinking something in internal med... Probably, I'm leaning towards oncology, but, you know, it's not a hard cutoff.
Okay.
I could definitely see you being a great oncologist.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Internal med is where the smart people go. You're going to do great.
Thank you.
MD, PhD student.
Well, it's funny.
Definitely an intellectual, I guess you could say.
It's funny you say that because the number two specialty I might excel in is... research and non-clinical roles.
So. Okay.
Looks like I'm on the right path.
You're on the right path. I got psychiatry. I also got research.
I got psychiatry too.
I also got psychiatry.
Yeah, Dave, if you were, what specialty would you go into?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can tell you what the AI said. Family medicine, geriatrics, some sort of research or academic medicine, and psychiatry. I think probably... I'm trying to ignore my intellectual capacities because I don't know that I have the intellectual capacity to learn the kinds of things that you guys have to learn. Not intellectual capacity, but you know what I'm trying to say. I don't know that I have the ability to take in information and store it in the way that doctors do.
And you're just not like interested in it either. Like you got to be interested in it.
I mean, I'm interested in passing for sure. Yeah. But I would say I think geriatrics and palliative care would be great for me, despite the fact that, for instance, palliative might make me cry a lot.
You would be a great palliative care doctor.
I could see that for sure. Yeah.
And geriatrics, I think, is way more valuable than people. Like lay people give it credit for. I think most lay people don't really know what geriatrics is or even that it exists.
Yeah.
And I kind of dig that people as they get older are no longer the same as they were in terms of the medical issues that they experience and the kinds of things that they need medically. Mm. And why not have that be, why not go to a specialist once you get to a certain point? That seems so reasonable to me and a way to really make a big difference in the world with your specialty. Yeah. Because I think a lot of older people are underserved sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Despite being, you know, often wealthy and, you know, like wealthier than young people. And, you know, medicine is great for the wealthy in this country. But anyway.
And like some of the geriatric care is not necessarily like prescribing you medicines, but making sure that like you're safe at home and you have people that take care of you and that
yeah.
like if you need accommodations for mobility and stuff that's taken care of for you.
Sometimes it's about unprescribing medications.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard, we had an episode years ago with a geriatrician, and one of the things that, in fact, this happened to, maybe I'm approaching the point where I think geriatrics is like 70s plus.
I don't think you're there yet.
I don't think I'm there yet, but I did my family doctor a couple of weeks ago said, maybe you don't need that blood pressure medication because your blood pressure looks great.
Yay.
That's awesome.
And yeah, turns out she's still in agreement with that after me measure. So, you know, I think a lot of people, as they get older, they accumulate medications and they're never like reevaluated. And that would be interesting to me to sort of look at that and be like, okay, which one of these don't you actually need?
Yeah.
Because they cause a lot of problems.
Absolutely. Balancing like quality of life with quantity too.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, okay. So geriatrics, palliative for me.
Cool. Woo.
You know, also, I'm going to stage a slight intervention here. I always feel like always on the show, Dave, you're always like, oh, like, I wouldn't be able to handle this. Or like, I'm not as smart as you guys. And I've been hearing that for years. And I think that is not true. This needs to change.
Yeah.
You do say it a lot.
You do say it a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. I think
I'm a little insecure about my brains, to be honest with you.
What was your self-consciousness score?
Oh, let's probably super
quantitate
high.
This.
Yeah, see, you made another joke.
I what? Self-consciousness, 17 out of 18.
There it is.
Well,
I think you'd be a great doctor.
Thank you.
I could also see you being like an adolescent med doctor.
Oh, okay.
As goofy as that sounds.
No, I could see that. A little bit. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. End of intervention.
Intervention concluded. I'm a f***ing genius.
Yeah.
Oh no, you broke Dave.
I mean, just to keep it about me for a minute or two more. I think this came from my experience in college, where I just wasn't very good at it. I didn't understand a lot of things that I understand now, I think. And so, you know, I just didn't do all that great or consistently so anyway. And I believe, I may cut some of this out, but I believe that I never really figured out the right way to learn things. Mm-hmm. And you know, I didn't even know that there were other ways to learn things other than like reading and highlighting and like, I don't, you know, like there's a lot more to it than that. And I think you guys figure that out in med school, if not earlier.
Or we're just really good at reading and highlighting things.
Yeah.
What did you major in out of curiosity in college?
Psychology.
Oh, wow.
What was the only thing that would let me graduate in 4 years after I got to f***ing around and trying to figure out like what I wanted to do? So.
Was that something that you were like truly interested in, or was it like really just
interested in communications.
Yeah.
I could see that.
So I kind of wanted to do what I'm doing right now. So I finally found it. Yeah. Anyway, where were we? Okay. Yeah. We were going over, what you're thinking of being.
Yes.
Is that where we were?
Yes. Well, but you went last.
I did go last. Okay, good. Thank God.
and then we went over your specialty that the AI AI thought you'd be good at.
I would not be good. I might enjoy less surgery, emergency medicine, very technical specialties like radiology, anesthesiology, things like that. And that totally tracks. Although I do like buttons and lights and switches and things. So I think maybe radiology might be great because, you know. Be fun to opt to, but I don't know that you actually use those things. I don't know that as a radiologist you're actually taking X-rays.
No, I think those are the techs. I think you just look at the pictures.
I think I should be a tech more than I should be a physician.
Yeah.
I think I would enjoy that a lot more.
Radiology was very, it was like my first rotation and it was very like, it was very much anatomy based. Like if you like learning about the human body and like pathologies, radiology is like chef's kiss for you.
Okay.
you never act on, like, you identify the problem, but there's no treatment involved. It's like, there's the problem.
Right.
Now let's move on to the next patient.
Unless you're something like an interventional radiologist.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's a very different...
field, yeah. But just the general, like, looking at CTs and be like, oh, there's the problem, which, like, they are so smart for being able to do that. Like, I was very impressed. But then you just move on to the next patient.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's really interesting. I wonder, like, for me, that would be... That would just make me crazy. You know, like like seeing what it is, but then not having any control over what people do to fix it.
Yeah. You
know? Oh, God.
I got off the 2 weeks and then I was like, I haven't thought about a medication in 2 weeks. like this is weird. So, yeah. Anyway.
It's very like puzzle oriented. Like if you love puzzles, pathology, radiology, even like emergency med, I feel like those are all great specialties for just like solving a problem without problem solving, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Short term,
like putting together the pieces, but not. Yeah.
Figuring out the problem without doing the solution.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, right. Figuring out how to put this together, but not really. But not actually.
So, like, if you're a pathologist, it's the equivalent of saying, like, hey, there are some puzzle pieces, they go together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know, like the surgeon would be like, okay, now I'm going to put these together.
Right? Yes. Yes. Which or is like, important. It's important to do
Somebody's got to put the puzzle pieces together.
Yeah.
Or like knowing how to do a Rubik's Cube, but not actually doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just turn those things.
Yeah. Just turn them. Oh, gosh. Yeah. That it's really interesting that you describe like pathology / radiology as a puzzle, because when I think of like internal med, that's what I think of as a puzzle.
Internal medicine.
Here's like all the things that you need to do to put together the diagnosis, and then like here are all the treatment options, and here's how they fit perfectly into like this person's life, and like that like puzzle is like the first thing that comes to my mind for like internal med. So I think that it's interesting that like I don't know, I guess we see puzzles differently.
Yeah. What did you get for your AI thing?
So I got psychiatry first, then peds, then emergency med, then family med. And
emergency medicine.
You know,
how do you feel about that one?
Because
that's very different from the others.
So I think actually like going along with what Hin said, I think that you have to be an exceptionally strong person to do psych. Like outpatient psych is one thing, but like inpatient psych is really quite another. And I thought that I wanted to do that for a little while, but after like
you thought inpatient psych particularly, or just psych
in general. And then after doing like some like my ECE in it last semester, I was like
the early clinical experiences that you guys do. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. I just like it really made me very like sad. And there are so many things about psych right now. It's just it's so underfunded. And there are so many people in the psych ward that like aren't there for psych reasons. They're there for like housing reasons.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
And that is extremely tough for me. Peds, I think that I'd really enjoy. I love kids. I just would also love to be able to like deal with adults too. And like, I don't, because kids are not just little adults. I don't want to limit my scope of practice where if I ever did or like needed to work on an adult, I wouldn't know how to appropriately.
Okay.
Emergency med, I think could be really cool, honestly. The only thing about it is I want to have my own family, and like I don't want, and I heard that emergency med is like not that bad, like as far as family things, but I don't know. I just like,
so it's a lifestyle issue that you'd be concerned with?
I think so. I think I actually could really enjoy emergency med. Like I sort of like that. Like okay. I work very well under pressure.
Oh, okay.
Like in fact, I work poorly under not pressure.
What do we mean by pressure? Because I also work well under pressure in the sense that I like if a deadline is approaching, mm-hmm. I'll work really hard to meet that deadline. Whereas if it's not yet approaching, I'll probably let whatever I have to do, like expand until it fills the time I have available, you know, classic thing. But if I'm under pressure in the sense that, you know, something needs to happen right now, I need to make a decision right now about, you know, say somebody who's having a problem.
Yeah.
I might panic.
It may not
be a good trait for an emergency medicine physician.
I usually, when bad things happen, I become extremely calm.
Okay.
And I don't know why that is, but like, I think it's honestly because like my whole life I've always like catastrophized / like expected the worst so that when bad things happened, I would like be prepared, which like I understand is like a totally kind of like effed way to think, but.
No, I get it. I get it.
And I think that it's like, I don't know, like when weird bad things happen, I'm just like, if they don't like personally affect me.
Sure.
But also the time thing. Yes, I do work much better under time constraints. Okay. And family med is something that I think I'd like to go into.
Okay.
Lots of variety.
What did it say that you shouldn't go into?
Radiology, I agree. Pathology, I agree. Anesthesiology, I agree. Ophtho, I agree.
Okay.
No eye spoons for me. Mm-mm.
What is an eye spoon?
So my stepdad just recently had a detached retina and they had to go like look at the back of his eye.
Oh no.
So they literally took a big ass spoon and just like stuck it in there. That's what he said. And he was telling me the story and he was like, yeah, they took this big spoon and stuck it in my eye and I kept on telling him, I can feel that.
Oh.
Anyway, but he's okay now. Okay, his eye looks a little funny, but
it's not in.
Well, no, it's all like, it's all smushy. Like,
yeah.
It's like small. It's more his eyelids.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna actually small. Yeah, I was gonna say what happened.
Yeah,
I got my eyes reduced.
Eye reduction surgery.
That's funny.
Oh man. Yeah, but he said that he can see light now, so like that was good. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. How long does it does? I don't know anything about ophtho for someone who's interested in going into it.
You haven't had that rotation.
So I'm not. Is it gonna recover?
Oh, as far as I'm concerned, yes. He doesn't like seem all that like stressed about it. Basically what happens is they like go in and they do something surgically, I don't know what it is, but then they stick like this gas bubble in your eye.
Yeah.
And then for 10 days you have to sit with your head down like this.
Okay. For like 10 days?
Yeah. And anyway, and he had to get like one of those like silly ass like back and neck massage chairs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So like he could just like look down without like messing up his neck basically, and he had to lay on his stomach for like 10 days and it's so that the gas bubble stays like in the back
pressed on the back of your eye.
Yeah. I think you can put your head up for like 10 minutes or something.
Wow.
Like, you know, at every so often, but
that's it. I'm just imagining the first up what's the word I'm looking for, ophthalmologist. Ooh, boy, I had a little problem there. Just imagine the first ophthalmologist was like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to keep pressure on the back? I mean, like if it was an external thing, I'd just put a pressure pack on
it
or something like that. But wait a minute. Let's put a big bubble of air in there. That'll do it. And then make him lie down for 10 days.
He also can't lift his head for 10 days, but that's fine.
For 10 seconds, for 10 minutes, like periodically was okay, they said. But like no more than 10 minutes and then like back down to the special chair.
Like that's the best we've got so far.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was so excited actually about it at first. He was like, think about how productive I'm going to be at work.
Because he just looks down at his computer.
So yeah,
think of all the books he read.
No, Michael does not read. So none books.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, he does love Netflix shows though.
There you go.
Oh, good old Michael.
That's kind of sad. Okay, no eye spoons.
Yeah, he's good though.
Yeah.
What about you, Hind?
I got they recommended Family Med first.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the extroversion, I think that kind of drove all of these. Family med, peds, psych, internal medicine, and occupational medicine.
Interesting.
I don't know what occupational medicine is.
Is that like a PMNR type situation?
It says, this field requires collaboration with businesses and employees to promote health and safety in the workplace.
Yeah, so you might be employed in a factory. You might be employed by factories. You might be employed in the military, I think, is big on occupational medicine.
Okay. You can work for OSHA.
Yeah. Things like that. So health and safety in the workplace, basically, I think, is occupational medicine.
We actually had a lecture on that recently in Mass.
Well, it's weird that you're saying occupational medicine because I got occupational health. These seem to be two different things.
What does yours say?
Mine says it involves preventative medicine.
It is a branch of preventive medicine.
Yeah. Wait.
Well, no. I guess that makes
occupational medicine is a branch, a part of preventive medicine.
Because you're preventing things from happening. Right.
Yeah. Wellness in the workplace, cooperation, empathy. This is different from what you said.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What should you not go into, Hind?
I should not go into surgery, apparently. EM. Rads, path, anesthesia.
So similar to the rest of us. Yeah.
I agree with the... Look, I loved EM. Like, we get 2 weeks in core year. I'm excited for you guys to have it. Like, it's fun. It's very fun. Mm-hmm. I would not do it. as a career. It's just very much like... I think what frustrated me is that it's kind of like you're playing Tetris and you're solving problems, but new ones keep coming.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like it never ends. So I think it's more of like a mindset perspective of being like, I am making progress by helping the patients on this list, but you have to be okay with the fact that the list will never get to zero and it will always, 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 always be full, no matter how much you work. And that was like, I could tell, like, you know, I was only there for 2 weeks and like by the end I was like, I can't do this. Like,
That's not for me.
I can't do the never-ending list and not see progress being made with the patient that I'm working with. So,
fair enough.
Do you think that you're one of those people that's able to like turn off when you leave the hospital, or do you still like think about and like ruminate about your patients?
I always ruminate. About anything.
Yeah.
I think with EM, you have to be able to, it gives you the, like, once your shift is over, your shift is over and you can like vibe, but like, you have to also be able to have the skill of turning your mind off and not think about your patients. Yeah. Anyway, random tangent. So yes, I agree with that. I also don't think I would go into like, I don't know. I might have the personality for family med and IM and stuff like that and peds, but I don't think I'll be going in the primary care direction. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
I got pretty similar ones, especially to Dave. Like, our specialties we shouldn't do were exactly the same.
Okay.
But I got psychiatry, research, occupational health, and general practice. But what I think is really funny is it says I shouldn't do surgery because I have low anxiety and low anger.
Well, low anxiety, I understand. Wait, you shouldn't do surgery?
Yeah, it says...
Maybe my AI sucks.
It says the...
Because I feel like if you had low anxiety, you'd be perfect for surgery.
Here's what it says. It says surgeons often face acute stressors that require immediate decisive action, which might not align with your calmer demeanor. So that's interesting.
Okay.
So you can't make decisions when you're calm?
I would think
or
that.
Or I can only make decisions when I'm calm.
Oh.
I don't know. But yeah, interesting.
Okay.
Maybe we need to tweak the AI a little bit.
Well, that's definitely possible. Its knowledge base consists of two articles.
Well, mine also said, it said, don't go into surgery because you have low... neuroticism.
Mine says don't go into surgery because I have low extroversion and low assertiveness.
The assertiveness makes sense.
Which makes sense. Because if an assertive person can make quick decisions and you know, be, you know, exhibit leadership and I also don't have a high level of physical activity, which, you know, the surgery is a bit arduous sometimes, right?
Well, the standing.
It depends on which kind.
Yeah.
I also feel like the AI is missing that I shouldn't go into surgery because I'm clumsy. And I'll probably just like, knock the table's over. Yeah. Like, I would be like a bull in a china shop.
Oh, God. You still have to go through the rotation.
I know.
They make you stand in the back.
They do. That's for the best.
I don't think we're going to be doing any like triple A's or something or anything. We'll be fine.
So you just stand in the back the whole time?
Is that well, you know.
Yeah, but with your hands up so you don't break sterile field.
Seriously?
Yeah, just in case, like, in case they need you to be hands on.
What if you have to pee?
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about too.
I think you could. Well, okay, I haven't done surgery, but I think you can leave as long as you're not like walking out every 15 minutes and like disrupting people and like bringing pathogens into the room. Yeah, like, I guess that's fair. Think you can leave. I don't know.
I thought you were about to say, like, I think they can catheterize.
You will not have a catheter on your surgery rotation.
Surgical nurse is like, use the bucket in the corner.
Yeah, too many pathogens.
That's sterile. But also, I think, like, if you are interested in surgery and you enjoy it, like, they do give you opportunities to be more hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that's going to be me.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. And for the best. Like, I don't think it's the best place for me.
That's fair. Are you interested at all in doing like minor procedures? So like, I don't know, like baby biopsies, or like if somebody came in with like a laceration. Like, sorry, not but biopsies maybe. On babies. But, like, small.
Wait. It's like, wait.
Okay. No, I feel like I don't like touching people.
Oh.
It just like, and this has been hard, you know, being in medicine because you don't have to touch people. Yeah.
They want you to just do
like,
that a little bit.
It feels like an invasion of space. So I always just feel uncomfortable with it.
Do you like hugs?
Like, not my favorite thing, no.
How did you do with the HEENT exam where you had to stick your hand in people's mouths?
I was like, good thing I'm not a dentist. Like, that was a good career move.
Yes.
I could not be sticking my hands in people's mouth all the time. It just feels so invasive. I don't like it.
Oh, yeah.
But I do really like managing problems. And I like acute situations where, like, things need to be figured out really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to like have to touch people all the time, you know?
That's fair. Mm. So you like, you make the decisions, you tell other people what to do, and then they do.
Yeah, like I get my information from like the scans and the labs rather than like versus like emergency medicine where you're really palpating people and stuff like that. Like, I'm okay with touching people. I just don't want that to be like the main thing. In my clinical practice.
Yeah, they have scribes to like take notes and things like that. Maybe they need touchers.
Touchers.
Like, you're my toucher today. Touch that patient.
That could get into some funny monkey business. Yeah. I'm not sure.
I mean, it would just be awkward telling them what to do.
Yeah.
Palpate that. How does that feel?
Yeah, like,
isn't that what the medical students are for?
Okay. Could you do like a laparoscopic surgery?
Hmm.
Yeah, like, or like, I can, so I was like, you know, I'm a lab girly, MSTP, and I'm really good at like micro dissections. This is sort of like how I've excelled. So I can really do like very fine, small, like manipulations and surgeries. But even then, like, that's just like, I don't, that's not exciting for me, you know? Okay.
What is a micro dissection?
Dissection on a baby.
That's a baby dissection. Like in undergrad, we had a Drosophila model.
Uh-huh.
And so like
much more micro than that.
Yeah,
yeah, really, my role was like dissecting the eye tissue from the Drosophila.
Good
That's
Lord.
So Damn. Cool.
How do you can only do that? It with a microscope.
With microscopic tools?
Like very fine forceps, yeah.
That's
Were they in like the anesthesia? Well, like they were they you do the thing where you shake them? And...
Well, these were larvae. These were larvae, and I don't even know if we I don't even know if we killed them. We just sort of went right into it because it's like bug larvae, you know, like
That's fair, yeah.
And like a lot of them were dead anyway because like we were expressing cancer in their eyes, and then like just take up their whole eyes and then their brain, so they would just die.
I would rather do that.
Do you anesthetize them by shaking them?
I would rather do that on a bunch of flies than like
on mice.
In that way, it's ethical.
I got no problem.
I swear I'm ethical.
We used to like this weird, like, we didn't shake them. We used like a wand that was dipped in something that smelled like fish. And then we just stuck it in their thing, and then they got all sleepy.
We had, well, for, and the these fish were, juice. With the like adult flies, there was like a pad that like pumped carbon dioxide up. Oh. And so that would anesthetize them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I forget. Interesting. What. I don't know how we got to this topic.
Microdissections.
It's your fault.
Oh gosh, that's funny. So you must be okay with procedures then, or like interested in procedures in some way, shape, or form.
I am very excited about the fine motor skill procedures. Yeah. Like in opto, like under, like you are using a microscope too, or like a the magnifier.
Yeah.
I'd be kick ass. I think I'd be kick ass at laparoscopic surgery. They had a Da Vinci machine in the lob in Murph atrium one day.
Really?
Okay. And the trainer, I guess it was a trainer, and you know, so they had these little like silicone doodads that you could like manipulate. Mm-hmm. I was like pretty good at it, you know.
Wow. Do you play a lot of video games?
No.
Huh.
I don't, but I think I'd be I'd also be good at reading ultrasounds because I feel like I know what's in there. Mm-hmm. I feel like I know what I'm looking at.
I like it.
Yeah. I know what I'm
have
looking
you at. Have you done the like you should do one of the ultrasound like workshops with us.
We have one on Monday.
Do you have an ultrasound workshop on Monday?
iPocus. That's what it's called.
Yep.
Point of care.
Those were so confusing.
Ultrasound.
I had no idea what was going on in any of those.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not world's best ultrasounder.
I should say that I've only seen ultrasounds of like
babies.
Yeah, like pregnant women's, well, my wife's
one pregnant woman
belly when she's pregnant. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a baby. I can totally see that baby. So maybe, I don't know, like if I'm looking at like another part of the anatomy,
it's
maybe,
very confusing.
Maybe it would be very confusing. It really confusing.
Is. Have you ever seen a guinea pig get an ultrasound?
Oddly, no.
Have you?
Yeah.
Do you have a guinea pig?
The guinea pig back, and then I saw this video of like this guinea pig who's pregnant. She's getting an ultrasound. Oh. It's so cute.
Can I bring my cat?
Yeah, I wonder if they. I bet they do.
Pandora to Monday.
Is she pregnant?
No.
Oh, you mean to do a regular? Okay.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I'm just waiting for the day that we have an SP where they're like, "All right, like look for the bladder," and then all of a sudden it's like, "I think there's something in there." Did you know you were pregnant?
SPs tend to skew older though, so that might be a very big surprise.
That would be a huge surprise.
Oh gosh.
So they're doing one on Monday.
Yes.
And it's just like an intro to ultrasound.
No, we actually already have had one. They're pretty long. Yeah. They're like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like we break it down by system. So we've already done like the abdomen.
Yeah. So I guess no more uteruses for me.
Yeah. I don't know what the next one's going to be.
Oh, yeah. What's the next one?
I think it's heart. The second one
that's
is heart,
probably. That's what I was feeling, but I haven't prepared yet. So
yeah, I haven't prepared yet either. I don't know what it is. We've done the aorta. Yeah.
They're fun.
They are fun. They're just confusing.
And like when you somehow get lucky and just happen to put your ultrasound on the right spot and you can see everything right away, like nothing feels better than that.
I think the reason I feel like I would be good at it is because I do have a pretty good sense of spatial. Mm. I do have a pretty good spatial awareness, spatial understanding.
That's a good skill.
That is a great skill. I don't have it.
No.
And like, I think that's why laparoscopic like surgeries would be hard for me too. Cause I just like have such a hard time of figuring out how those work. Like where you are at in terms of anatomy, how you like miss things, how you can pull like organs and stuff out of like really small little holes. Like it just, it's not making sense. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I agree. I very much focus on like, how things feel to me and like that kind of thing. And so
which would be hard with laparoscopic surgery because you don't really get that direct feedback.
If I don't know how hard I'm squeezing, right, like something bad could happen. So I don't know. I get that like laparoscopic surgeries usually have much better
outcomes and that kind of thing. But
it seems almost like these days it's like the preferred way to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You do have to have like a real 3D mind though. Yeah. And I just, I don't have a 3D mind.
Yes.
And also everyone's anatomy is different.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I feel like it would be so easy to just like get lost in there. Like your little scope. You're like, where are we? You know, what's going
on? Is this the abdomen?
We're doing MSK neuro and vascular. Tomorrow.
Interesting. Ooh. Looking for some DVTs.
Yes. Very good. That's the first thing that we're looking at, DVTs. And then soft tissue stuff.
DVTs. I don't know. Something thrombosis.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Deep vein.
Deep vein thrombosis.
Yeah.
Knee effusion. That's so gross. Cellulitis. That's another thing that I would be horrific at is ortho.
Yeah.
I would rather not be a doctor than be an orthopedic surgeon.
That's what I like. Ophthalmology is hard for me too, because just like seeing the eye look all gross and having
eyes
to like
I feel like a lot of people would have problems with eyes.
Yeah. There's
and the most grossed out I ever felt was watching a surgery about a facelift. So that's another area where I'd be like a
really
little. Anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, there's like my ECE this semester is in radiation oncology, and there's this radonc method for like eye melanomas where you sew like a little cap that's radioactive onto the back of the eye for a couple of days.
Oh, like a seed.
And to kill the melanoma?
To like apply that radiation to that really small area. And then you don't rip it back off, but like you sort of rip it back off. Seeing like the pictures of it, I'm like, oh, absolutely not. It really grosses me out.
Probably makes you blind.
I'm
going to guess.
It makes you blind like 2 years later because your eye retinal cells just divide so slowly and radiation is just targeting like cell proliferation.
Right, right, right.
So for like the first 2 years, you're fine. But then once those cells eventually do have to divide, that's when the blindness occurs. It's very strange.
Better than having eye cancer.
But yeah, like you're probably going to go blind anyway. So
yeah, I mean, I guess it's better than enucleation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that sure? Like, is it like do you know anything about like the percent of people that will develop? Is it like a 100% thing?
I have no idea.
You mean 100% go blind?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. I just know that like that's the major risk, but it's not right away. It's really delayed.
Whoa.
So you go slowly blind, I think.
Yeah. And I would imagine like obviously like chemotherapy would be like the first step because maybe that would be more protective. Yeah. You probably wouldn't go blind from chemotherapy or else a lot of people would be blind.
Maybe immunotherapy
but yeah,
too.
The radiation is just really interesting.
Maybe radiology is good for you.
Maybe.
Jacqueline?
No.
That is deciding.
I like to talk to people. I like to see patients. Like that's why I'm in medicine and not just in like.
We've got colleagues to talk to in some of these things. Colleagues, you know, the person at the cafeteria. You know,
your mom,
your family at home,
your mom.
Oh gosh, I have one last. I don't know what time it is, but I do have one.
It is 12:55.
Okay, one last question. So. A lot of people, like some people are like freaky about the eyes. Some people are freaky about the mouth. Some people are freaky about feet. Some people are freaky about like orifices, like, you know, anuses and vaginas.
I love those. What?
Okay, dude.
What's the thing that you're like freakiest about? Like I can deal with all the other things. I don't love them, but I can deal with them. What's the thing that's sort of like, wow, I really... just would really not like to do this. This is my thing.
I think like the vaginal exams, the pap smears are really hard for me because like I know how uncomfortable those are. And so like a lot of like my uncomfortableness with touching people is just like I don't want other people to feel discomfort either. And so like that one just feels really invasive. I'm not necessarily like super grossed out. It just like I don't want to cause this patient this discomfort.
It's definitely fair.
I don't know if I have one. I know I'm not a big OB-GYN fan. I just don't like a lot of like tissue. Like very high tissue volume situations, like deliveries or like, yeah. Like that kind messy. Of stuff. Yeah. It's like messy and like probably a bad thing to say as like a birth doctor.
Birth is beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's the giving of life.
Yeah.
I hope you didn't use that voice at your own children.
I did. I was like, look at that life you've given, Christine.
What about you, Fallon?
It's mouths for me. 100% mouths. Yeah.
I've already said mine, which is the facelift thing. I can't.
Yeah, about that? Was like,
no. I don't know. It's the face, man. It's the whole face.
Well, you don't mind. Like,
have you seen a facelift? So like on YouTube or whatever? Go like look it up.
Skin coming off that you don't
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Because like you're fine with faces like the way they are.
Oh, yeah. Like I love me a good face, but okay. I'm also like a pretty squeamish about the idea of degloving the hand. Oof.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's not a thing that I want. But, those are like emergent situations usually. I don't know that, routinely, there's a specialty routinely where you're degloving hands,
Ortho? No, probably not degloving.
Yeah.
No.
Ugh. I don't know. Ortho. Maybe like plastics?
Yuck. Maybe.
Infection?
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh, yeah maybe.
Wound care.
Maybe.
Yeah, that takes guts. Like burns. Burns yeah. Wound care.
Oh, yeah. That would be hard. Stuff. That would be very hard.
Yeah, burns would be awful.
On that wonderful topic.
All right. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, maybe that's a good place for us to end this. that's our show. Fallon, Jacqueline, Hinn, thanks for being a part of it.
Thanks for having
thanks
us.
For Thank having you, Dave.
And what kind of gross thing would I be if I didn't thank you, Shortcoats, for making us part of your week? If you're new and you like what you heard today, follow the show wherever fine podcasts are available, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. Shows made possible by a generous donation by Carver College of Medicine, student government, and ongoing support from the Writing and Humanities Program. Our music is by Dr. Vox and Catmosphere. I'm Dave Etler saying, don't let the bastards get you down. Talk to you in 1 week. Hi, Shortcoats. Look, life in medical education, life in America, life in the world is often difficult. And I often wish I could help. All I have is this podcast, but in my wildest dreams, you have the support you need to lead a life of your choosing. You deserve to be happy, healthy, and successful in whatever ways you define those words. So if you need support because you've experienced racism, discrimination, harassment, mental health crises, I want you to be able to get the help that you need. And so I'm going to put some links in the show notes to some resources that you can use. But the bottom line is that for what it's worth, I see you. I know you're out there. I wish I could do more. Maybe I can in ways that I don't understand yet or know about. But I see you and I'm glad you're here and other people are too.
The Shortcode Podcast is a proud member of the MedEd Media Network. Inspiration, information, and guidance on your journey to medical school and beyond at mededmedia.com.